so this is my payback for you wearing cute makeup and me not wearing any makeup during our life.
Are you saying that my lip gloss isn't cute? I have a question. Like, why the wetter lipstick or lip gloss looks, like, the more drying it is? Why is that a thing?
I don't know. I usually use matte lipstick, TBH, but I feel like that is not the current makeup trend. I also got my lipstick, like, I'm not good at getting my lipstick within lines. So
that is what it is. I got a text from my husband today that apparently our sweet six-year-old daughter has started referring to hot dogs as glizzies. So welcome to 2023, y'all.
What does that mean?
It's slang. It's like,
wait, that's a slang word?
Oh, it's a real word. Yes. No, this is a real, like, thing. She's very speaking of trends on it.
Okay. I'm going to use this when my middle schooler gets home.
It How is do extremely, I use glizzy? Like, old school, like, DC, like, slang for gun. But recently, I've been seeing it used for hot dogs, right? So we also call hot dogs glizzies.
I'm scandalized.
Yeah. So... I cannot wait to have a conversation with her about this, but I guess, like, on one of her Minecraft videos, they were calling hot dogs glizzies. And so she's like, they're building a house out of glizzies.
Well,
people also call hot dogs glizzies. So that's my story from the trenches of parenthood.
What a fact to learn the day that the vegan hot dog food truck is coming to my apartment complex.
You're going to embarrass your middle schooler so for bad. All.
So, wow.
What could go wrong? Cry. I know. It's too funny. Listen, so today we're going to talk about quick and dirty mods, and we're just doing it, right? So we haven't done a lot of prep, but there's things that we want to talk about. And when I proposed this to you, I was thinking of a knitter in our knit-along group on Slack. You know, we're launching this knit-along, and she is getting ready to knit a classic LBD. And she's like, well, what size do I choose? She's very diligently gone through, and she's looked at all of her measurements. And if she measures her upper chest, she's a size 6. If she measures her bust, she's like a size 4. If she measures her biceps and her waist, she's a 3. So anyway, she's all over the place. And it got me thinking, like, you know, how do you answer somebody who has a question like this?
Yeah, that's a great thing to talk about. And there's a couple of things I suspect may be happening with that person in particular. And I've got to get into Slack and reach out so that I can help more. But hopefully this episode is going to help a lot too. And I love it because, I am an outlier in my size. We've talked about that. You're an outlier in your size. Guess what the secret is that, like, if we really take all of our measurements, we are all an outlier in some part of the measurements, because there is no, you know, average human, like, walking around that is the collection of this data. This data just points to the most likely measurement for each measurement. When using, like, for us, we're going to say an upper bust as the guide.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So, so, like, on one end of the spectrum, we have choose a size based on your full bust, which is the guidance given in most unique patterns. And in the other hand, we have completely rewrite a pattern to your custom measurements, right? So let's talk today about the middle ground.
Which gives me a would you rather for you.
Okay.
This just came to me, so I hope it comes out right. All right. Would you rather, and you have to answer this as if you're not a designer, would you rather never get gauge again or have to knit from patterns that include no neck shaping?
Never get gauge.
You were so fast.
Never
you're
get
like,
gauge.
I'm not adding short rows to everything forever.
No, I'll just recalculate, like, my gauge for the key measurements and go for it. Like, but we're going to need a place for this business. It's right here.
But you know how to put, you could put it. But yeah, it is annoying. So that leads me to one of my preferences, since we're going to be talking about like ways that we modify stuff, that I agree with you. I would much rather modify, like, I want to use this yarn. How do I make it work? I'm not quite getting gauge. Then have to take a pattern that like doesn't have fit and try and figure out those fit aspects. However, modifying for one piece of the puzzle can be pretty simple. So,
well, yeah, and I think my answer is because, like, as I was answering that knitter, I want to have a range of options for people, right? Like, I want, like, the first option is like the easy do nothing option, and then there's like a make some tweaks, and then there's a like go hard. Mm-hmm. If you don't get gauge, you can still grab the stitch counts from key places and the row counts from key places, see what you'll get and choose one and knit it. Like, you don't have to make a mod.
Although, you know, I have to say that that works really well for folks like you who are closer to the middle of the size range. But if you are at, I'm often the second smallest size, or if you were like one of the largest sizes, there might not
you could get pushed
stitch
off.
Counts available. Yeah. If my gauge is much larger than the intended gauge, I only have one size below me. Otherwise, right, I would have to like figure that out for myself. So that does work and it doesn't work. Right.
Right.
So, yeah.
And that's, I think, the gray area that we're going to spend today in. So
let's do it.
Bum, play the bum bum
bum bum.
My bum is.
Okay, we are back. I love that we like got right into it this week. Sometimes we have like a 30-minute intro, but
no, let's talk.
No, we're chomping at the bit.
Yeah.
All right. So where do you want to start with modifications? Should we talk about gauge? We talked about it a little already.
No. We did a whole episode on gauge.
All right. Lead the way.
Okay. So, well, let's start with our knitter, right, who is about to cast on, right? So she has a couple options. Mm-hmm. If she chooses a size that my suspicion is, I don't have her full measurements, I think she's probably a tall person. And so
I think
let's talk about height. Yeah.
Yeah. I might be wrong because I don't have it in front of me either, but I think she may have said as much. Yes. Let's talk about height. I am a shorty. You are not.
I am not.
Are you often adding length? I think you do often, or no?
I have to add length for my, my long arms.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's
but
what I thought.
I'm almost 5'8", but my torso is not tall. It's just sticks. Yeah.
Okay. I am about 5'3", but my torso actually is fairly long, so I don't usually have to modify the body length, but my arms are not long. So sometimes sleeves are very long on me. And if it goes below the hip, I'm very short there. So
yeah, I feel like when we sit next to each other, we don't have a height difference.
Not that much, no, but when we stand next to each other, for sure we do.
Yeah,
but I'm the perfect height for you to lean on me, bestie.
Lean on me. Yes.
But my legs are short, so a dress is usually longer on me than on someone else, right?
Yeah, and I have a really high waist. Like, it is not even like on my first rib, it's on like my second rib. So for me, like, long, I need a really long inseam to get to my natural waist. And that's where I like my tops to hit. And I have a shorter arm size. So you can see how this all scales in line with everything we already know about our fits.
Yeah. But so let's talk about someone like our friend Jillian, who is quite tall. I think you're about 6 foot, Jillian, out there. Hey.
Hey, Jillian.
And I know that she is someone I bring her up because she's someone that often does have to modify for length. And because she's tall and she is long in the torso and most likely, I think, long in her arms. So I am not sure that Jillian modifies armhole depth. Let's save that for a different conversation and assume that somebody is tall, but their armhole depth is average for their size. So they're really looking more at being long from armpits to hips, underarm to hips. Yeah. So,
are you making fun of me in the style guide? No,
okay. I'm correcting my style. No, actually, I don't like using Jen and I had a behind the scene conversation about using armpit in pattern, which is never my intention, but then it's like my crass American way of thinking that I'm just like in the armpit, you know, sometimes it gets written out that way. So I am trying to manifest classier language.
The upper arm.
The underarm.
Yeah. Well, that's like the easiest mod though, right? It's just to add length from the hip to the underarm.
Yes. I would say that you may want to consider if the garment has waist shaping, right? You might want to consider adding length both in the waist shaping, like in the increases and the decreases, right?
Yeah, distribute those decreases and increases. Yeah.
Right. Usually, if you have waist shaping, it's going to go in and then out. A lot of times, my garments might just include hip shaping that goes to a couple of inches below the full bust measurement. Well, a couple of inches below the actual full bust, my garments will often reach the full bust measurement at that point.
Yeah.
Right. And so, I usually reach the full bust measurement about 3 or 4 inches below the underarm in my pattern.
I was thinking top down. Yeah.
Okay. Yep. I never think top down.
I think in all directions.
I mean, I think in top down when it's on purpose. My default is always bottom up. Anyway. Yeah. Yes. If you're coming top down, you want to reach your full bust measurement at the underarm. If you're going bottom up, then you probably want to reach that full bust measurement.
By your full bust.
By your full bust, which is not at your underarm. And something that I do that I've started doing, I don't know, last year or something, is including where on the garment that full bust measurement is reached, especially for my bottom up garments, so that you can see and make sure that that is like where your full bust is. So these are all lengths below the underarm. Where's the full bust? If there's a waist, where is that? Where is the hip reached? If it isn't reached like at the bottom, if it's not A-line.
Yeah. And we do a lot of bottom up knits. And so I think it makes sense to talk real quick about how to measure those things, right? So in a knitting pattern, we always use the inner neck point and measure straight down. So that's going to be halfway between your front and your back. But let's talk about like where on the shoulder we measure. So if you were going to knit a garment that had a really close neck, you would want to start measuring here. But if you're knitting something like your Anna scoop, right? Like,
or this, where,
or this thing that you're wearing now, which is very beautiful. I was going to say that, but I didn't want to be too scattered.
This is Therese.
She looks so good. She looks cream on my screen today.
Yeah, because there's no other color in my frame. It's making everything neutral, very neutral. But she's like a light peachy color.
She's blushy. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So if you were measuring for that, you know, you would kind of take a look at the photos and maybe measure from there because you can see like that's you've lost an inch of height there. So measure from your inner neck point tempered by the location of that neckline. Ignoring the trim. So if you had a 2-inch trim, I wouldn't measure from the trim. Measure from the actual place where rows are going to start, right? Mm. So measure in from there and then measure straight down parallel. Because what we're really talking about is the number of rows that we're going to work in any construction, except raglan, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. But you want to know the length from here to your full bust, the length from there to your waist, measure in the back if you have breasts so that they're not polluting that measurement. And then measure the length that you want. And then you can compare that to the schematic, right? Because if you're knitting bottom up, where that underarm lands really influences what that underarm to hem should be. So, you know, we can't just say I like 6 inches under the underarm without knowing where that underarm is.
Yes. And here's another note. Those measurements, you might take them from the top down, but if the pattern is bottom up, in order to get the length that you're actually knitting to, you're going to subtract them from the total length of the garment.
That's right.
So when I give you the bottom up measurement of where that full bust is placed, I measure it from the bottom up because that's how you're knitting it. But you're going to take your top down measurement to that full bust point, subtract it from the total length of the garment, and that will tell you how much space you need underneath that. So that's the only difference. If you're doing something top down or bottom up, your measurements are always going to be top down. If it's a bottom up construction, subtract that length. Yeah.
Yeah. I like to just kind of look at the schematic because the schematic is construction direction agnostic, right? It doesn't matter if you're going up or down. So just knowing where, like,
I might
conceptually
include those lengths differently though, if I was in the schematic.
So put them in my schematic from the top down.
I put the placement of the bust darts from the top down, but I put the placement of the full bust measurement when it's knit bottom up from the bottom up. And those are two different measurements that I tend to give so that you know where I think your actual bust is and you know where you're knitting to that full bust measurement, where that's going to fall on your body.
So a knitter then would get their measuring tape, get the full garment length from the schematic, measure down to see where that is on their body, and then measure up to see where that measurement is.
Yeah. And then you would see. Yeah. Which is a little extra, but it's not that extra.
I mean, it's a measurement that most garments don't provide. So, I mean, I feel like.
Right. I provide. Yeah. It can sometimes confuses my tech editor, but when you look at it on the schematic, it's clear because the like lines and arrows. Sometimes my TE sees things without the drawing. Sometimes.
Right.
All the time.
Right. All the time.
The drawing is like the last step. Yes, I know it's not a usual measurement to provide, but I do provide it because I think it's helpful if you want to modify and figure out where those, basically where the decreases or increases end when you're knitting from the bottom up so that you don't have to like pick out that math and do it yourself.
Yeah. So the title heading is, if you're tall and need to adjust from your underarm to your hip, or short and need to adjust from your underarm to your hip, use that inner neck point to the hem measurement, compare it to your schematic, and see what you're going to get when you're casting on, and then adjust the number of rows that you work to get the result that you want to have.
Yeah. So if you've subtracted length, you're going to condense your shaping. If you've added length, you're going to spread it out a little bit. And we would recommend spreading out the shaping fairly evenly if you're not sure, or if you're more advanced, you can really pinpoint exactly where you want that shaping on your body and adjust accordingly. But that's, you know, several steps. You can also make it a little easier for yourself by just going with the general shape of the garment, but extending. Yeah.
Yep. I said I was going to come back to talk about raglans because raglans and saddle shoulders are a little bit different because the top of the sleeve is contributing some depth. So you'll need to look at your schematic. Yeah, exactly. Great.
So you can see I knit in this garment, this is a dress, although you can knit it shorter if you want because it is top down. So it's garter stitch panels at the top that you first knit and then, which by the way, can be part of your gauge swatch, although the rest of it isn't knit in garter, so you need a stockinette swatch, sorry. So as it's on my shoulder, right, half of this square is hanging in the front and the other half is in the back. So these stitches are picked up from that square and knit down for the front and the same in the back. So that means that when you're looking at the total length of the garment, half of the sleeve width is included in that total length. So how would you treat that differently, Jen?
Well, so what we'd be looking for on the schematic is, I'm going to use a raglan as an example, but we'd be looking at the difference between the raglan depth and the total yoke depth. And so you want to make sure that you're capturing that total yoke depth, no matter what the construction is. If it's a saddle shoulder or a raglan or anything, you want to make sure you're capturing that whole yoke depth and not just the raglan depth. Now, sometimes designers will use something called raglan length, which is a diagonal measurement. And I don't find that measurement helpful for anything, so I don't include it. But those are the three things that I see knitters sometimes get mixed up on. The difference between yoke depth, raglan depth, and raglan length. So make sure that you're including that whole yoke depth, because that will take you to parallel with your underarm. And then you'll know how much further you want from there down for your garment.
And let me tell you, things like that trip me up for the longest time. Half the sleeve or remembering the shoulder rise. I just had like a total brain fog moment recently where I messaged you and I was like, am I losing it? Did I do this totally wrong? And you were like, I mean the traditional way. AKA, yes, you did that. You were totally wrong. So sometimes I need a reminder and then I have like an aha moment all over again. But that usually happens well before anyone looks at my work who's not being paid to look at it.
So should we talk about shoulder rise then?
Sure. Let's talk about shoulder rise. And then I would love to talk about armhole depth because that's one of the models
that I got to talk about armhole length. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, so we know that our shoulders are not straight across. We're not like cardboard box robots, right? So there's an angle from our neck to the outer part of our shoulder, and a triangle, it makes a triangle, and a triangle always is a rise over a run, right? So the rise of that shoulder is the vertical change between the inner neck point and the outer shoulder. For most most adults who are on the women's chart, that's about 1.75 inches. And so that will be part of what is contributing to that inner neck point to hem length. So as long as your garment has some shoulder rise, first of all, look for garments that have shoulder rise, because that's how bodies are shaped. And if you don't, you'll have either extra fabric here that will pull in your underarm, or you'll have too little fabric in this length and it will tug from the underarm to the neck. So make sure that your garment has shoulder rise. But then as you're calculating, if total length is not provided on the schematic, I don't always provide it. Make sure that you're adding that shoulder rise amount to that arm side depth, to the underarm to hem, to get that total length.
Yeah. So in other words, the total length of your garment is longer measured on the inside than it is measured from the armhole down, because the outer armhole, the outer edge of your garment, does not need that rise of your shoulder.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep, great way of saying that.
It's two great ways of saying it.
So you're so sunny today. You seem really happy.
Well, my kids have been back in school for a whole week, so that might have something to do with that.
I'll talk to you in 2 weeks. Then I can say that too.
Yeah, we also rewrote our chore chart. That's a seasonal activity here. We negotiate the prices and points that things are worth and what jobs are required versus not. And so the chore chart is flowing quite well. We included in the chore chart that the girls have to now like keep themselves on track, getting ready for bed and waking up in the morning for additional chore points. I could give a whole podcast on our chore chart system. I have been working on it. So anyway, when chore chart is good, I'm good. Things I never
happy
thought.
Happy life, happy life.
Right? Things that I never thought would be important in my
the
life.
The sentences you say these days, girl.
I'm full on mom now.
You are. Yeah, mine starts first grade next week, and she's all a flutter and is excited for the return of worksheets and is so excited to have homework. So,
well, that's great. My girls were just so bored that they said they were excited to go back to school because at least it's something to do. It's like, great, fine. Also chores.
Also, you can just clean. Yeah. Time to lean, time to clean. I'm just full of sayings. Yeah, one of my parenting hacks is to be like, okay, Susie, you ready? We're going to clean together. And then she'll like, generally, she'll just disappear and then I can do whatever I want. I don't have any intention of cleaning. I just want to nail on the couch.
You know, I unintentionally used that hack yesterday. I was like, Artemis, do you have any chores or anything to do? I mean, or you could take a break and chill with me. And she was like, I'm good. And she like went to her room and read a book for like an hour and a half. And I was like, cool. I'm going to keep watching this murder show then.
Yep. Perfect.
Seems like I can.
You got away with it. You did the trick. Yeah.
Nit, nit, nit.
I love that. So yeah, let's totally talk about underarms, because this is a place where we have a lot of body variability, and this is something that you and I have talked about. But when do you think this is an easy mod?
Satin sleeves. It's one of the reasons that I have been drawn to satin sleeves. I answered that so fast. Let me talk about satin sleeves.
I know. I set you up for that. I know you like your satin sleeves.
One of the reasons I have loved satin sleeve constructions is because the armhole is incredibly easy, one, to like decipher, understand, and two, to adjust. Especially as someone who likes deep necklines, I will often adjust my armhole depth and include extra depth in the neckline at the same time without necessarily doing a lot of modification to the neckline, because it will lower my neckline a little and give me the depth I need out here. Mm-hmm. But it is important to know that in any construction, if you're tinkering with the armhole depth, you are tinkering with the neck depth. Even if your neck depth hasn't started yet, you're still going to be, well, if your neck hasn't started yet, you're not going to make it less deep.
Right.
But most of my garments have deeper necklines that are going to at some point travel with your armhole shaping. So adding length to the armhole might be increasing the depth of your neckline unless you choose to add it in the space before neck shaping starts.
Right.
Which is totally an option also. But if you do that with a lower neckline, then you're going to be spacing out the armhole decreases maybe a little bit differently in order to add length in that section without tinkering with the neckline. Did that make sense?
Yeah.
Cool. Another thing I like about satin sleeves, as someone who, one, needs a deeper arm size than is typical, I do find some patterns that now, I think those deep armholes that everyone complains about, I'm like, oh, this is great. A lot of those work okay for me. So I will say that I also, as we all know, I like to add upper arm circumference. So sometimes with a satin, I am able to knit the body and neck shaping of like size B. But this is something I've done with one of your patterns. I knit the sleeves and the armhole of a size C. So I was able to just like go up a size, look at not the amount of stitches decreased, but the length of like number of rows, and then use the sleeve cap and upper arm circumference of that size.
Yeah.
So it fit very well that way. I didn't have to modify the sleeve cap like on my own to make it work with the seamed satin sleeve.
Yeah. For most knitters, if they're making a modification to the length of the armhole, I think they do get really intimidated. But mm-hmm. I think that the easiest thing to know is that if you're adding rows to the middle of your armhole, you just need to, or taking them out, you just need to make the same adjustment in the height of the cap.
Yes.
And so yeah, that might mean, what that usually means is working decreases faster or slower so that you keep the mm-hmm. row count the same in the sleeve cap. So that you adjust the sleeve cap height. So you add two rows in the front, two rows in the back to your sweater. You'll need to add two rows to the cap of the sleeve. So that will mean redistributing some of those increases or decreases, but it's not very hard to do that.
No, it's not. And you can add them right in the middle of the sleeve cap. And that might mean working a couple of like every other row bind offs or something instead of every row
yeah.
or whatever that calls for. But a lot of folks who need to add depth to an underarm or subtract it might also find that their upper arm circumference fits well with one of the other sizes offered. So I like that as like a hack. You can check that schematic and see if there is maybe a better size for your arms. And then you are able to sort of remove the length, the row count, and use the sleeve shape of that size.
Yep. Mm-hmm. It's a little tougher in a raglan without having like a progress chart, but not much because you just want to make sure that you're adding the same or subtracting the same number of rows from that yoke in all areas. And again, just redistributing that shaping. So it can be really helpful if you're going to do this in a raglan to make your own progress chart. So write out like all your rows down the side, and then whether you're increasing or decreasing. And then ideally with a raglan, what we see is we see closer increases at the top. So we might see every row at the top and every row at the bottom. And in the middle, we might have some every other rows. And so we just want to preserve that shaping. So if we're making it longer, we would want to extend the number of every other rows. And if we're shorter, we would want to extend at the top and the bottom pretty equally the number of every rows, just to redistribute that shaping.
That's what I was going to suggest as well, that you look for that like central part of the compound raglan shaping to make your adjustments in, because that is most likely the place that you're going to benefit from. And I was also going to say the same thing. You might want to make your own progress chart, because that would actually allow you to use the upper arm adjustment if you want to, and change the sleeve to a different sleeve stitch count from that schematic or your own, and then work with the same, you know, starting where you start, you want to end. I would probably try and end that sleeve with the same stitch count as your body size, correct? So like, let's say I knit, okay, Jen, I lost
what?
Let's say I'm working compound raglan. I want to, I'm sorry that I'm talking about upper arm and armhole at the same time.
No, it makes sense to do that though.
I agree. Okay. So let's say I'm working a compound raglan and I am knitting a size 4 and I want to knit size 2 sleeves. I want the upper arm circumference of a size 2. I'm going to make a new progress chart that uses the rows, let's say, of size 4, or the row count that I want to use for the yoke for all sizes. I'm going to start and end the yoke, the front and back stitch counts, in the same places. Cool. For size 4. Now, my size 2 sleeves, I'm going to start off with the number of stitches for a size 2. Should I end up here with the number of stitches for a size 2 or a size 4? Because my gut is saying end up here still with a size 4.
Yeah, mine too.
Yeah,
because I think you want to adjust the upper arm, just adjust the upper arm.
Right. So if that means adjusting the raglan shaping for the sleeves so that you might have fewer decreases on the sleeves, you would go ahead and adjust those separately. And now you'll see, if you're making these modifications, why designers sometimes struggle with designing raglans, because you're looking at the front, the back, and the sleeves. In some cases, those are three different stitch counts throughout the entire raglan. And in some cases, they're not, but it can be a little intimidating. But if you create a row by row guide, it will not take that long to create it, especially just for one size. And it will be super helpful. Then you just follow that. Yeah.
Bicep adjustments are one of the most common adjustments that we see. And really, it's just a matter of changing that final width that you arrive at the underarm while keeping all your row counts consistent with your pattern, unless you also intend to change those. So whether you're changing your bicep or your wrist, just redistributing that shaping. The only note I would want to add is that as you're changing your sleeve shaping, it's a good idea to preserve whatever happens right under the underarm. So if the designer has planned for you to knit an inch or two without any shaping there, leave that alone. So place your increases or your decreases further apart, but don't mess with what's happening at the wrist or the underarm.
Yeah. Because you're likely going to want the underarm and underarm shaping that matches your body size more so than your sleeve size. Yeah.
Well, and we don't, like, our arms aren't cones. We don't narrow immediately from here. So there's a good reason that things are knit straight here. Sorry, I'm trying to keep it like audio friendly. So I'm holding up my arm perpendicular or parallel to the ground and pointing to the fact that my my upper arm is actually a little bit wider after my underarm than not. So most of us are cylinders here before tapering to the elbow. Mm-hmm. And so there's a reason that that sleeves will tell you to make all those increases and then knit straight until you reach such and such length, or knit so many rows straight with no shaping. So as mm-hmm. you're redistributing, if you need more length here and you need more increases, you want to have reached that full length here as you're working yeah. up. Or if you're working down, you don't want to begin decreasing right away. So whatever the designer has given you for that number of rows to work straight, or that length to work straight before the underarm shaping on your sleeve, leave it alone.
Yes. See, you were talking about the sleeve and I was thinking of the underarm shaping on the body, but like the actual underarm cast off and the decreases in the cross front, I would say that you want to leave your underarm cast on as well, most likely matching the body size more than the sleeve size, because you want the space here to be yeah. wide enough. And if it's like, if there's extra room in your underarm on your arm, you're not going to be mad. But if there's not enough room in the underarm on your torso, it's going to feel icky.
Yeah. So I'm thinking about our knitter, right? And in my mind, like I said, I've never seen this knitter in person. I don't have any photos of her, but mm-hmm. I know that she's tall. I know that her upper chest measurement predicts a larger size than her lower torso measurements. I don't have her cross shoulder measurement, but I suspect she's got what I think of as like a swimmer's build, right? So tall and a little mm-hmm. broader through the shoulders. And so I'm thinking my recommendation to her in a raglan would be to, for a set of easy mods, would probably be, so she's got a 6 upper chest. I'm assuming she's a 6 in like
is arm she knitting length. A raglan, or I thought she was doing a set in.
She's doing classic LBD.
Okay.
And so I'm kind of thinking, okay, so like the only outlier measurements that are larger are these here. And mm-hmm. she has a smaller arm than, like, the arm is like a size 3. So in my mind, I'm kind of thinking she can probably get away with a little bit of fudging here. That upper arm is probably going to cover some width here. So I would recommend that she probably cast on the 5 instead of the 6 and knit the 5 and work fewer increases to get to a full sleeve, because mm-hmm. it's knit top down. So I would knit, you know, where it says to knit every row or increase every row or every other row, I would spread those out a little bit throughout mm-hmm. the whole length. And then I would probably do that also in the back in just a few places to reduce the overall bust circumference just a little bit, because she's like a 4. And I'm going to have her knit on cast on the 5 because she needs it here. Mm-hmm. I'm going to have her make fewer increases in the sleeve to get a slightly, just slightly narrower bicep, because we're going to count on some of that fudging up for what should have been a size 6 up here. Mm-hmm. And then because she's a 4 in her total bust circumference, but I had her cast on a 5, I'm going to improve her fit by having her take out stitches just in the back only, because most of us can benefit from having a smaller back. And this pattern is parallel, it has the same stitch count in the front and the back. So I would have her just also make a few fewer increases in the back to get a slightly smaller circumference. So those are and I don't think that those mods are hard. I think that you could cast on and like not even think about it too much, just wing it and get a better fit than default.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I used to wing it for things with, especially with, for me, it's increasing the upper arm and increasing the armhole depth. I used to just be like, I want to add another inch in there, so I'm just going to add rows. And even actually with my Carol bralette, because I am short and short people will want to take out some of the length in that bralette. I have not ever like done official math to mod like my cotton one that I made, that I modded the length quite a bit. I just took out blank rows where I knew that I could take them out from as I was knitting, you know, and I took out enough to remove like an inch and a half as I went. Yeah. So sometimes you can do things a pretty simple way, and I would encourage folks to experiment and maybe put in a lifeline if you're concerned about it, yeah. right? Because then you can easily tink back and try something else. But, you know, as we often say, fit is its own hobby. And one of the best ways to know what's actually going to work for you is to experiment with that, because we are conceptualizing and theorizing, however, without you in front of us, right? We can't actually say for you what is 100% the right thing to do. Right?
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. And, you know, my other piece of advice is to measure some things that you have that you like, and know that adjusting sleeve width is one of the easiest things you can do in any garment. Adjusting the armhole depth in a set-in sleeve is one of the easiest things that you can do. Mm-hmm. And you can always make more increases or decreases for the neck. So, yeah. Like, I feel like if you know that those are probably the three easiest things to modify, then you can say, which size do I want to start with? It's going to make the mods the easiest. And then just play with it a little bit. And, like, don't try and, like, if you're new to making mods, like, just make a tweak, right? Yeah. Start slow. Make it, keep it fun. Keep it light.
Yeah. Maybe you re-knit something that you enjoyed knitting, but the fit wasn't great. And you make a couple of changes and see what happens, you know? You might have a, whatever project felt fast, easy, and fun, but the final fit wasn't perfect. And we all have those, I think, in our make collection.
Yeah.
The scientist in me, not that I'm a super scientist, but I do live with them. The scientist in me wants to be able to see the fit before I change something and the fit after. I want to be able to compare, right?
Yeah.
Because that would be like a really good source of information. I'm actually about to do that right now because I messed up, as I was saying to you, I messed up my Tory tank. And I was like, oh, this armhole's a little tight. That's just me. But actually, I'm missing like an inch of knitting from Tori. So I'm about to take off the edgings and unravel some of the straps and add like an inch to the strap. And I already have like a ton of photos of me wearing it before. So I'm really excited to do a side-by-side comparison, and y'all can look for that. It might not be live by the time this episode comes out, but I'll certainly be sharing it and maybe even doing a blog or something to compare those garments when it's done.
Well, and I think also I've seen a lot of knitters recently doing like major sweater surgeries. I have a UX knitter who's knitting Pluses, which is an all-over colorwork sweater, and she opened it up and put in bust darts. In color work.
Which is wild. Yeah, that's like brave. I mean,
like, I'm going to send her like a medal.
It's not impossible, right? But
it's just knitting. Yeah.
It can be scary. I'm going to have to do sweater surgery on, well, dress surgery on my birthday dress because she's too short.
Is that a thing? Now you're going to say something really racy and make me blush.
Well, she's too short.
I'm just going to do it to myself.
I wear short things, but I do not want my butt cheeks to hang out of the back of a dress, you know?
I do now.
And if I like raise my, if I'm just wearing her standing right now, she looks great. But if I like pick up my arms, you see my whole underpants. So that's too short. I can't, if I do, I know. I've been made fun of for a long time for calling it underpants. I don't know what else to call it.
Nobody says the other thing. No. Underpants is fine. Britches.
Yeah, my britches. So, but I was conservative with the length because I only had 3 skeins of yarn. And I'm a small size and a short person, but, you know, I was nervous about how much of a dress I could actually make with that. So I knit it to be like, just barely long enough, and then did the sleeves, and now I'm doing all the trims so that I can open it up and then not be afraid to add, you know, I'll probably only add like 2 inches, but at the time that I was at that part of it, I was afraid of not having enough yarn if I added those 2 inches, so I didn't, and planned to open her up later and just add 2 straight inches in the section right below the hip. So
yeah,
that should be fairly easy, but it is going to be some time consuming project that doesn't have anything to do with my work knitting right now. So it's not the top priority.
Yeah, I hear you. I, you know, Now we're just talking about what we're working on, which I'm into.
That's okay, because we didn't do that at the beginning.
Yeah. So I'm knitting a super, super fluffy sweater with...
Yeah.
And like, I hadn't knit on it in a little while because I had to get something off to edit. And I just picked it up last night and I was like, this is such pleasure to knit. Like,
I'm knitting a super fluffy sweater right now too.
Oh, my God. I'm just like, this feels good. I like this. Because the other thing I've been knitting is like a farm yarn that has a ton of lanolin in it. And like the yarn is almost sticky. It's grippy. And so like I was working on that at knit night, which is great. I know that once I hot block it, it's going to be lofty, soft.
Yeah.
Like it will be a sweater I can wear in the rain. But then like I came home and I was like,
it's so different, please. Right?
It's so different.
I'm going to cast on a sample of Sarah in a farm yarn. So. Yeah. We're going to be having a similar experience. But then, of course, I have like a lot of silk linen blends. A lot. Who knits more than one silk linen blend project at a time? It's me.
It's you.
It's me.
It's you. You're the one. Well, and this has been a really fun project because I want this one to be super approachable, right? So I was like, it's going to be a drop shoulder and it's going to be seamless, except it has a kangaroo pocket and you'll have to sew the sides of the kangaroo pocket. I'm still going to call it seamless and they're just going to have to deal with a lie.
Well, I call it seamless when you have to sew the shoulders together.
It's seamless construction.
Right.
Y'all have to tell us if you think we're liars.
Yeah. Tell us, please. If you're knitting a pattern that is seamless and let's say, you know, so I'm currently working on a fluffy bottom up. Seamless, and you are going to have to seam the shoulders closed. But if you want to, you can do a three needle bind off or something.
I'm doing three needle bind off so I can call it seamless. Yeah.
Should I do a three needle bind off? I do a three needle bind
tell
off,
us.
People?
I mean, I also like it for this yarn because I don't really want to seam this yarn.
Right. Well, so mine, if you follow me on the IG, then you know I'm working with Camellia Fiber Company's new base, Soam. I don't really want to seam it either. It's very fluffy and fuzzy and I can seam it, but it's not going to be as easy to seam or as easy to see what's happening. So maybe a three needle bind off for that one will be a more pleasurable experience. All right. I think I've already decided that I'm going to do that.
It's really easy.
Fine.
And then I was going to do like this encased hem so that you could like, cause it's sporty, right? Like it's a warm up.
Right, because it has a pull.
But it's too bulky. I didn't like it. And so I had to take it out. And then I was like, well, maybe I'll just do like a curled stockinette hem. But then I was like, it's so fluffy, though. I feel like it needs some structure at the bottom. So I'm just doing a regular ribbing, like a 1x1 ribbing, super easy. And in this texture, like you can barely see it. But it's like, I'm going to do like a regular bind off. I haven't done a non-tubular bind off on something in like, I know you can't sew this. You can't sew this in a tubular bind off.
I mean, you can.
No, it'll be not this. You can't.
Okay.
I can barely unpick the stitches if I have to switch one around. It's too grippy.
I think I can do a tubular bind off on mine. I already did.
I think you can. I've seen your swatch.
Yeah.
But this is like.
No, because yours is a little thick and thin too, so it's gonna
Pull through.
It's gonna snag as it pulls through.
It's because, really grippy and lofty. Yeah.
Yeah. My yarn is also real grippy and lofty, but it does have a Pima cotton. It has a Pima cotton as one of the fibers. So that makes it pretty workable. It's great.
Yeah, it looks so good.
Good job, Sylvia. Podcast.
Well, she has to now. It's in the rules.
Right?
Yeah.
So that makes sense. But with such a lofty, fuzzy yarn, are you going to be able to tell that it's just a regular bind off? Is it going to matter?
You can barely even tell it's ripped.
Right. I feel like that about mine.
It's so fun.
Which made me kind of want to do the ribbing in a different yarn, but then I was like, no, that's not what it is. So,
also, and you and our peeps can tell us what you think. So like, I'm going to have, this is for our winter collection. This is the sweater. Mm. And then this is one of them. And I'm imagining doing like a mosaic stitch hat that combines them.
What? Combines the yarns? That would be fun.
Like a really fluffy white folded brim. And then like, it would just be like peaks of purple.
That's exactly what I pictured when you said that. That would be cute.
Because I don't have enough going on.
Person.
Yeah.
Candace makes me wear sun hats, like baseball hats and big hats, which I'll do for vanity because the sun is strong. Did you guys know Florida is like, when I first got here, I was like, oh my gosh, the sun is so big.
Yeah.
One time Jen asked me, what did you do to make the sun look like that in your photo? And I said, I moved to the equator. Like,
why is your sun so big?
It's a very different experience. So I am a fair woman. So yeah, I do wear sun hats, but I don't ever, like, I was hard pressed to wear a winter hat, even in New York City when I would walk around in the blizzards. I just don't love it. I usually would just wrap a scarf around my head and then myself and do that like a bunch of times in the blizzard because we're not trying to be cute anymore in a blizzard.
No.
However, I like that as a hat idea. I am excited to see it. So, friends, we'll tell us. Tell us about hat things.
Yeah, tell us if I should do a hat or if I should just not bother. Hats don't sell. My accessories don't sell well. I'm probably just not very good at it. But, and I'm just a sweater girl.
I have a feeling because I'm not like an accessory knitter and I knit them sometimes as gifts, but like that's basically all. I have a feeling that many of our people are kind of the same because like our friends that I follow, they're not showing me hats, you know?
Yeah.
I think we're all super into garments, but like a hat swatch project is fun. But this would be totally different than that.
It's totally different.
It's not
though.
A swatch.
It's yeah. a leftovers project. It's a scrappy project.
See, but I like that too. We'll yeah. see.
We'll see.
Tell us.
Yeah.
Tell us, friends. This is after the cast on party for our knit along. So if you're in that, I hope you're enjoying. Tell us what you're knitting and we'd love to know. If you're not in that, you can navigate over to knitfixandchill.com and you can still join the knit along and sign up.
Yep.
And I believe this episode is airing before the end of August. So
it is.
The all caps one wild KAL discount code is still working on any of our adult garment patterns. Someone
That's right.
asked me if child's was
included. I included the kids.
Oh, you did. Okay. Children's are included. I'm sorry if I answered you wrong, friend. I'm going to find your message and respond. I think that was Emily who asked me that. You can knit. Kids. I don't have any kids patterns, so I was like, ugh. So yeah. Anything else? I do love that fuzzy yarn. I need to
This is the first time I've been tempted to make a kid's sweater in a long time.
Oh, of that one? That would be cute. Well, you guys need to tell us. You friends need to tell us in the comments. Do you knit accessories and do you knit children's garments? I'm probably not going to be out here designing a children's garment. I did give one of my stepbabies a reject tank top that I knit myself that was not right.
The one that didn't make the cut.
Yeah, because it was like weirdly small in the upper chest. But I was like, oh, well, this is a cute little tunic piece for the baby. So I plan to like knit them something that is their own. But I do not plan to. I feel like I don't understand a child clothing. It's so tiny.
It is. It is.
This math isn't real.
The math is fake.
It's
all right.
Too small.
Too small. Too cute. It's too cute. Well, let me know how it goes with the glizzies. And
yeah, I will report back about glizzy night. We're not sure if we're actually getting glizzies for dinner because we're not spending like $15 a glizzy on the four of us just for the girls to be like, I don't like this.
Yeah. Mine won't eat a hot dog, so.
They're vegan, though.
Our kids don't. Have you ever had a vegan hot dog?
Yes. I was just going to say, in our family, we all prefer the fake meat to most real meat. So, like, we usually have Impossible Burgers and we usually have Impossible Nuggets.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're all kind of grossed out by meat. We eat meat, but then it's like second choice.
I like a lot of the meats, but I feel like vegan hot dogs taste like easy cheese that got left out on the counter too long. Like,
they can. There are good ones. We'll see. This is like a fancy food truck sure that has. I have had good ones.
Okay.
But they have to be like well grilled and then well dressed.
They have to taste like cancer and toppings. I'm not making it
at home.
Like just carcinogens. It's true though.
So many cancer jokes out of you.
I'm so sorry. I mean, I've just learned that like it's just going to come out of my mouth and all I can really do is apologize. But
listen, my girlfriend with cancer makes the most cancer jokes. So I'm used to it. We'll see. I'm going to report back. Listen, I hope you guys saw the glizzies in my story, because I am 1,000% having a vegan glizzy for dinner, and I'm going to share.
This really went off the rails.
So if you all has saw that story with no context, now it makes sense.
Now you're in the joke.
Now you're in the joke. Please report back.
I saw a food truck with hot dogs yesterday, and they were called rescue dogs, and they were like for the Humane Society.
Oh, that's so cute. These are not that, but they're all vegan, so I think that's cute.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would try it. If the toppings were right, I would try it. I would give it another go.
I'm going to send you individually a pic. Yes. Maybe even a video of me eating my glizzy.
The internet needs it. You know this.
I'm the worst.
You're going to embarrass your kids so bad. I'm so excited for it.
It's one of my main hobbies. I mean, they secret love it, though, because, like, they secret love it. Avalon was like...
It's a love language.
My art teacher is looking for yarn, so I told her that my stepmom is a designer and that she knits. And I was like, great. So now I can donate some of my yarn, take it away from... My children stole it from me and started hoarding it. Which
yeah, the
does
closet
not,
yarn.
It doesn't help. Yeah. It wasn't supposed to go from my closet to their closet. So now we're sending it to the middle school. Hooray. Yay. Side note, anyone who's worried about it, the Florida middle school that my kids go to is not that kind of Florida school. We are right there in the curriculum. I promise. So just in case. Like, every time I say anything, people bring that up. So, there it is.
You're seen.
There is at least one blue county here.
Yes. All right. That's all I got.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to wrap it up.
I'm saying absurd things about being a stepmom, so we know I'm fried. Yeah. It's wrap-up time.
All right. Cheers, everyone. Happy knitting.
Happy knitting, everybody. We'll see you soon. Bye.
Bye.